I'm Mark Brazell, and this is the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. Glad to have you along on this Saturday morning. And on the phone with me is a first-time novelist whose new book is a coming-of-age story. It's been compared to Huckleberry Finn and To Kill a Mockingbird, set in eastern Kentucky. It is a gorgeous tale of, I guess you could say it's pretty in some aspects and pretty evil in others. It's called The Secret Wisdom of the Earth, a novel by Christopher Scotton. And Christopher Scotton is on the phone with me from his home in Washington, D.C. this morning to talk about his appearance. He's coming to Cincinnati next Wednesday at Joseph Beth Booksellers. Christopher Scotton, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
I know from your story that you're kind of a latecomer as a writer, but writing is something that you've dreamed about all your life. When did that bug bite?
Yeah, it's the summer of my 14th year. I read To Kill a Mockingbird and Call of the Wild, Catcher in the Rye, and Lord of the Flies, and Huck Finn, all in succession.
Wow.
And that, yeah, it was seminal for me, because prior to that, I'd been, reading, Hardy Boys and things like that, middle grade stuff, which is wonderful. But those novels really just opened my mind to the transformative power and transportational power of a great story, especially Lord of the Flies. I mean, I had never read anything like that before, and it just was seminal for me and made me want to be a novelist. So I majored in English and communications in college. But then life got in the way, as it always does sometimes with our dreams. And rather than start writing right after college, I got into technology marketing and started a career in technology, but always had that dream of being a novelist.
And I noticed from your account of writing or avoiding writing, procrastinating about writing, it's something that many writers face. When you say you procrastinate, you come up with excuses, and that was a struggle you went through as well.
Yeah, I was the king of excuses. I was living in London at the time, and I didn't start the novel because it was Monday, or because it was raining, or because it was too sunny, or because I had aphids on my tomatoes. Excuses after excuses, and this went on for about 10-15 years. And procrastination is really just about fear. And that fear feeds you excuses. And it took a long time for me to overcome that fear of taking the risk to write this novel. And so I think I was 38 years old, and I just had an epiphany. This great dream of mine to be a novelist was about to become my single greatest regret, and I just didn't want that to happen. And so I started writing the novel the next day, and I wrote the first line of the novel. It was Always Cold. That next day, I got up at 5 a.m., and that became my routine of, getting up at 5 a.m. and writing for 2 hours, and then, I had young kids at the time, and then, they would get up, and I'd, help with them in the morning, go off to work, and then come home, put them to bed, and edit what I wrote that morning. And so it was a slow process, but, I approached it like another job and had, word count goals and so forth. And once I got into it and really started, then it came out of me a lot easier.
You mentioned, you were 38 when you started, but we should point out that was 15 years ago. So you've put a lot of work into this book.
Yeah. It was a long time coming. Truth be told, I put it on the shelf for about 7 years. I wrote about half of it when I was living in London, and then I came back to the U.S. And again, I was in the technology marketplace, and I started a technology company in 2001 that just became consuming to me and to my management team. And I didn't write for 7 years, and then something wonderful happened. I got fired. the company was failing, and all of the pivot strategies that I came up with just weren't working, and the board, my investors, fired me, as they should have, because we needed new blood, new ideas into the company. And I went home that evening and very, very depressed and sad and shocked and feeling like a complete failure. But the next morning I took the novel back off the shelf and began writing again, and writing full time, because I wasn't working, so I was able to to complete it, the rest of it, much, much faster after that.
Christopher Scotton, first-time novelist. His book is The Secret Wisdom of the Earth, a novel that is set in eastern Kentucky in Appalachia. It's available where books are sold. Christopher will be in Cincinnati on Wednesday. That's January 21st at 7 o'clock at Joseph Beth for a signing and discussion. And hoping a lot of people will show up at Joe Beth to talk about the secret wisdom of the earth. And Christopher, I know this is the book has just hit bookstores now, but I would like you to kind of, I don't want to give too much away about the plot. Tell me about this coming of age story and let our listeners know what the book is about and a little bit to entice them to possibly crack the cover there.
Sure, sure. So it's narrated by a 45-year-old man looking back on his 14th summer, a seminal summer in his development as a young man. And 2 months prior to the events in the novel, he accidentally causes the death of his younger brother in an absolutely horrific, horrific accident at home on their front lawn. And his mother witnesses the accident, and obviously, Kevin, the narrator, feels just tremendous guilt and blame and grief, and his mother is catatonic, basically, from witnessing this horrific, horrific death. And so they go to live with her father in an old coal mining town in eastern Kentucky to heal. And, you know, her father, his grandfather, Pops, lives in the town, and he's the county's large animal veterinarian. And so, he really takes Kevin under his wing and just helps him heal over this seminal summer. The town is beset by this awful mountaintop removal operation that's kind of cutting the tops off the mountains and filling in the hollows and just destroying the natural beauty of the place. And one of the anti-mining activists in town is murdered. And the murder is witnessed by one of Kevin's new friends, a half-wild holler kid by the name of Buzzy Fink. And that murder really sets the rest of the novel in motion. And so the latter third of it is really a survivalist tale. It has a lot of deliverance and other backwoods survivalist themes to it.
Well, I wanted to ask about your interest and love of Appalachia. It really comes through in your writing. The descriptions are just dead on, and it's so lush. Both the tragic side and the natural beauty that's there, the coal mining industry and its effect on the environment, all come through so strong in your novel, The Secret Wisdom of the Earth. Where did your love of Appalachia grow from?
When I was in my teens and my 20s, I did a tremendous amount of backcountry backpacking and camping in Appalachia, primarily in West Virginia and Southern Virginia. And I fell in love with the mountains first, and then I fell in love with the music and the people. The people are just so quirky and clannish and wonderful. And once you establish trust with them, they're so incredibly welcoming. And I fell in love with the region like a local. It is just such a beautiful, beautiful place. But it's also in many ways a sad place and very paradoxical in that, the only real economic engine is coal mining. And now that mountaintop removal has taken root, the very economic engine that's providing jobs and livelihoods for folks is destroying their heritage and the natural beauty of the place. And I just felt like that was such an interesting and sad paradox on which, to tell Kevin's story. Because if you think about it, all the main characters in the novel suffer some loss. And the permanent loss of those mountains really is allegorical to that loss. And I wanted to kind of connect the loss of that the earth is feeling to the loss of the main characters.
And I read in an interview or a statement you had written earlier that you grew up outside of Washington, D.C., and that loss of environment, that loss of natural beauty is something that you experienced as a child because you like to go and play with your friends out in the forest, and then a suburb was developed out of the forest you used to play in. So that loss of natural habitat is something that's close to your heart.
Yeah, we felt it very deeply. I was born in Washington, D.C., and then my family moved out to the country and back in, this was like in, 68, 69, and it was country. I mean, there was, it was only 30 miles outside of Washington, D.C., but there was nothing there other than a whole lot of trees and cow fields and cornfields and secret swimming holes and all kinds of just great stuff to be a kid. And so, for the first couple of years, it was just magical. And then the land was sold to developers, and they came in and just you know, cut down our forest. And I will never forget that summer. It was just something that we felt so deeply, and we really couldn't quite articulate it because we were young. But, you know, it was a sad time.
Christopher Scotton, the author of The Secret Wisdom of the Earth, a novel in bookstores now and soon in libraries. I'm sure you can learn more about it at WVXU.org. Christopher will be in Cincinnati at Joseph Beth Booksellers for an appearance and book signing on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Details about that on our website, WVXU.org. And, you know, Chris, in reading the background here, your book has really caught the imagination of publishers and booksellers. I see nothing but praise being heaped on this. Early readers calling it a classic of our time, just like Twain. How, as a first-time novelist, do you deal with those expectations? And I mean, the book is great, but boy, a lot of people are expecting a lot out of you. How does that affect you in your writing?
You know, I'm working on novel number two now, and I think the praise the novel is getting is wonderful and heartening because, you know, I wrote it very much in a vacuum. You know, I'm not an MFA. I'm not a member of a writer's group. You know, I don't have a whole lot of, you know, friends that read deeply. And so I created it, the novel, really in a vacuum. But I wrote a story that I wanted to tell and that I wanted to read. And so, you know, when I found an agent or I sent it up to agents, I really didn't have a sense of whether it was any good or not. And until I started getting feedback from, you know, my agent, and then ultimately she sold the novel in 2 days to Hachette, to Grand Central. And then the feedback started coming from Grand Central and then from independent booksellers. It's just been so wonderful to hear because I really didn't know what I had and what I created. So it's validating, certainly, and just wonderful. I love, you know, going and meeting readers and talking about what they pulled from the novel, because it's a multi-layered story. And so, you know, some people will pull a particular storyline from it, and that will be, you know, will resonate with them and be meaningful for them. And others will pull something very differently. And that's really, as a novelist, you know, a great, great place to be.
Well, a lot of this feedback has been coming out. I mean, the book official street date was January 6, 2015. But I've been reading buzz about this for months before. Is that difficult to deal with right here where you're beginning to go and tour for the book after you have been promoting the book to booksellers and stores already for months?
No, I mean, you know, this is a dream come true, actually. You know, we all, as writers, you know, we think of that, you know, that moment of you're sitting on a plane and, you know, and the person next to you is reading your novel and loving it, you know, and you say to them, you know, what do you think of that story? And they, you know, they tell you how much they love it. You know, that hasn't happened yet, but, you know, it's wonderful. I love talking to readers about it, and you know, I'm just so grateful and fortunate that this story that I created is resonating with people, because that's what, as a writer, that's what you want. You know, you want to be able to touch people and educate, entertain, and you know, make them think about issues that are important to you. And certainly, you know, the environment is something that's very, very important to me. And so, the fact that it is resonating with people is just wonderful.
So we talked about the fear and how it took you quite a bit of time before you actually sat down and started writing the novel. Is it easier now, Christopher Scotton, to sit down and write, having gotten that first novel out from under your pen?
You know, that's a great question. It's less scary. The success that Secret Wisdom is getting is just very, very validating as a writer for me. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of writers have go through this when they're writing their first novel. You know, you have several layers of fear that kind of paralyze you. You know, level number one is just, are you going to be able to complete the novel? You know, such a long labor of love. But layer two is, once you do complete it, is it going to be any good? Are you going to be able to sell it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the success that the novel is getting really has kind of taken those elements of fear off the table. So it has allowed me, I think, in the novel I'm working on now, to be a bit more aggressive in terms of how I write and the language I use and the chances that I'm taking in the second novel.
So, no more excuses not to write. Is that what you're saying, Chris?
You know, absolutely. But not just for writing, any dream. The excuse of I don't have time is not a great excuse, obviously. You know, if something is important in our lives, we make time for it. And whether it's writing or dancing or art or anything. And so, you know, I talk to writers in my travels all the time, or would-be writers, and I say to them, just, you know, start tomorrow. You have, you know, there is no excuse. Get up at 6 a.m., 5 a.m., whatever, and write 500 words and do that every day. And the other thing I say is that you know, don't be afraid to write crap. You know, 80% of what I write is awful. You know, it really is. But within, you know, that the dung heap of most of my writing, I can pull out some good stuff. And so, you know, when a writer kind of has that goal of a word count of 200 or 250 or 1,000 words, whatever it is, you know, a lot of what you write is not going to be great. That's okay.
Christopher Scotton's first novel is The Secret Wisdom of the Earth, available in bookstores and soon at libraries. You can learn more about The Secret Wisdom of the Earth and Christopher Scotton on our website, wvxu.org. Chris will be in Cincinnati promoting the book at Joseph F. Booksellers on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Details about that visit there on our website as well. Christopher Scotton, thank you very much for being here for the book club at 91.7. And if I may ask before we leave, what are you reading right now?
So I am reading a novel that came out about 2 years ago, I believe, by a debut novelist by named Justin Torres. It's called We the Animals, and it's a very slim volume, absolutely fantastic. He is one of the most talented young writers that has come onto the scene in a long, long time. Again, it's a debut novel, but it came out about 2 years ago. The language is stunning, the story is fascinating, and this young man, Justin Torres, has a huge future.
Well, thank you again. Christopher Scotton, The Secret Wisdom of the Earth. Thank you for being on the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you, Mark.
Been listening to the Book Club at 91.7. Technical director is Bruce Ellis. Producer is Kevin Reynolds. Robin Carey Allgaier is the announcer. Jim Nolan is web guru. And Rick Andres is music director and segment engineer. And I'm Mark Purcell. I hope you'll be here next Saturday morning when David Welke revisits the Ohio River Flood of 1937 and his book, The Thousand-Year Flood. And bestselling writer John Katz discusses his newest, Saving Simon, How a Rescue Donkey Taught Me the Meaning of Compassion. That and more next Saturday. Thanks for listening to the Book Club at 91.7. Stay tuned for Weekend Edition next on 91.7 WVXU.